Again, to our guests, we are thrilled you are here. Our prayer is that before you leave here, you'll take one more time to reach out to God and leave here with something you can only get from Him. Not a personality in the pulpit, not even other services or programming designed to bless you, but I went to that Pentecostal church on Clemensville Road, and Jesus gave me something that changed my life forever. Praise God. John chapter 8 and verse number 36. It's just a short verse there. Why don't we read it out loud together? If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ wants to set us free today. So I want to preach just simply this: free at last. Free at last. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus. Church, if you've got the Holy Ghost, would you pray in the Spirit right now for the Spirit of God to take over and set somebody free? Now would you clap your hands and shout unto God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. May be seated. Thank you for being here today. On August 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his speech that now is so incredibly famous, "I Have a Dream." Standing before many thousands of people, the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., he literally gave a message that changed the world. And certainly you can tell from the title, "Free at Last," that there is something about this message that will take us back to that particular season of history and the yearning to be free. Because I believe if that yearning is here today in the heart of even one person, then Jesus Christ will meet you in your prayer and you will be absolutely delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost before you leave today. The fact is this: when you look back at that day and that season, we discovered through the life of that man that we are not really a free country until we are all truly free. Can I apply that to a church today where we always shout about being free and we proclaim liberty in the Holy Ghost, but we're really not a free church until somebody can step in here and say, "Man, I came with an addiction, but when I left, I was set free." And that is the goal of our time here together in the next little bit. Now, I want to apologize because I do want to quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s message, and I did not pay the price that he paid to share these words. I'm not claiming to be the man that he was. I will tell you this: service after service, I quote the words of Jesus Christ, and I got a long way to go to be like him. But I do feel like there's something in his words that can help us all today. I also want to apologize because you really ought to review the whole message that he gave. And there's just not time for me to share that and get to the point that I believe that God wants us to get to. So forgive me for cutting out some portions of this message that are absolutely powerful. But let me say this in quoting him. He said, "In a sense, we have come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. And he said, this note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he went on to say, it is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. I want to pause to make the analogy for the church today. There was a promise that was purchased for by the blood of Jesus Christ, that any soul that was in bondage to sin, any life that was trapped by addiction, any individual that was being somehow chained by depression, if they could ever make it to an apostolic church, and if they could ever be pointed to Jesus Christ, they could absolutely be set free. And the church is not the church if we are not a place and a people where someone can come in one way and leave totally transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. In his message, he spoke of the fierce urgency of now. He said, now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. He said, now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. He said, now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all God's children. And so I say again that we are not a free country if those words are just empty promises, nor are we truly the church of Jesus Christ if there is not an atmosphere in the house of God where somebody could come in on a Sunday on Independence weekend and they can say, I'm tired of the sin and I'm tired of the fear and I'm tired of the depression and I'm tired of the addiction. Now is the time. And so I say that each of us here as individuals and as a church, we must embrace the fierce urgency of now. We must yearn for freedom until we are all truly free. If the scripture is correct in saying that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is here in the midst of us. There ought to be something inside of the church that has an expectation. Oh my God, if somebody makes it to Heaven View on Sunday, July 3rd, if they're addicted, they're going to be free when they leave. If they're depressed, they're going to be free when they leave. If they are down and out and trapped by sin, freedom, freedom, freedom. Because now is the time for deliverance. Now is the time for repentance. Now is the time for your sins to be washed away. As one statesman said, give me liberty or give me death. Jesus, I didn't just come to church to have church on Independence Day weekend. I came to church so that you could set me free. Oh, would you clap your hands? As if to acknowledge there is a yearning. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, we read one portion of that verse. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In Romans 13, the Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we had first believed. It may be a holiday weekend, but Jesus knew you are coming here with that fear and that anxiety, that addiction and that depression. And he wants you to know, now is the time. Praise God. Dr. King embraced a dream that freedom was more than just a reality for some. It was a promise for everybody. He stated, so many of you know some of these words, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He said, I have a dream. And he quoted from scripture that the day will come when every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And he said, when that happens, he said, this will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. Is there an apostolic in the house that can agree with me? It's great to be free, to have a home and a job and a family and a life. But if you can live in a country where people are free, but you're still bound by alcohol, or bound by drugs, or bound by pornography, or bound by guilt and shame because of any of those things, or bound by depression, then what good is natural freedom if you can't enjoy spiritual freedom? And so I have a dream that on July the 3rd, somebody slipped into the house of God, and we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you stand up and raise your hand, but I've got a word from the Lord for you. If you've been depressed, you can dream today. If you've been addicted, you can dream today. If you've been frustrated and alone and ashamed, there is a dream for you today. So he said, let freedom ring. I think when we start singing with the first song, let freedom ring. When we worship in between the songs, let freedom ring. When an amen comes out during the preaching, let freedom ring. When we rush to the altar to pray for each other and ourselves, let freedom ring. Let this be a place, as he said, let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city. And we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Let every service, let that be the anthem. Let every Bible study, let that be the anthem. Let every altar call, let that be the anthem. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Amen. Amen. Think about it. I'm not going to call any names. But if God could set your marriage free, he could set somebody else's marriage free today. Yes. I'm not talking they'd be free to act like they're not married. I'm not talking like that. I'm talking that they could get something in the house of God. That even though it seems like our marriage is bound by strife and frustration and anger and words that although they were said a while ago, they still wound so deeply, somebody needs to know that if God could save this marriage, he can save your marriage. If God could save these kids, he could save your kids. If God could raise up that man out of his oppression, out of his addiction, and now he's a leader in the church, God can do that for you until when you leave.
peace. You won't say they were nice people. That's great. You won't say that was a nice choir. That's great. You won't say, man, that was a long message. That's great. No, you'll say free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty.
Certainly the cry of the civil rights movement, freedom for everyone, ought to be the cry of every child of God, every service, freedom for everyone. Why are you coming to the altar? You just told me God's been good to you. I'm coming to the altar because somebody else needs to be set free. Why are you worshiping your guts out and praying with everything that's within you? I heard you just got a raise. I'm not praying that way for myself. I'm praying for somebody else. It's not enough for me to be free. I want my brothers and sisters to be free. I want my neighbors to be free. Why did you come to church on Sunday? You don't need God. You're not addicted. Oh, no. I came to church because it's not enough that he set me free from addiction. I want to make sure that anybody, anywhere that makes it to the house of God at Heaven View, they can experience something in the presence of the Lord that they will say with me, free at last. Because natural freedoms are wonderful, and we celebrate them, and we honor the God that gave us the freedom we enjoy. But I am crying out for a spiritual work today, that someone that is bound and there are not physical chains, or you're not in a physical prison, but you feel like you are stuck in the rut where you are, that when we pray in just a few moments, you will hear the chains fall. You will hear the door of your prison cell open, and you will hold your head up high, and you will begin to march forward, and in your spirit, you can say, free at last. Free. Is there anybody in this place that can raise their hands and say, I once was bound. I once was addicted. I once was depressed. I once was locked up. I once was in a mess, but Jesus set me free. Come on, is there anybody that can say, once like a bird, in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came. Jesus came. Jesus came. And Jesus is here right now. Because Jesus promised in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus promised in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I embrace the natural freedoms we enjoy in this country, and I thank God for the spiritual freedoms we enjoy in this church, but I am yearning for everybody to be able to sing with me, free at last, free at last, free at last, free at last. The addiction was destroyed on July 3rd. I'm free at last. My depression was defeated on July 3rd. I'm free at last. My shame was broken on July 3rd. I'm free at last. Because the Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Would you raise your hands and say, right over here, God, give me a little liberty today. Right over here, God, I want a little liberty today. Can you say in Jesus' name? And so one writer said it this way, the cross is my statue of liberty. As the countless thousands and then millions would come into New York Harbor and they would see Lady Liberty. I've been there before, it's so majestic. It calls to everyone the sound of freedom. This is a free place for everybody. Maybe it's not everything it needs to be. And no doubt our country's far from perfect, but God has blessed this nation with freedom, with freedom. So much so that there are some people that would do anything to have one opportunity to be free like we're free. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying there aren't places where there's injustice, but we ought to be thankful because this nation has afforded us so much freedom that so many have never enjoyed or even understood. Connected with that statue in New York Harbor are the famous words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." And so when the songwriter said, "The cross is my statue of liberty," it's as though he would point every one of us to the cross and he would say, "Give me your tired, give me your poor, give me your huddled masses yearning to be free. Somehow let them see the cross." Because when they see his love and when they see his blood, they might understand Jesus died so I could be free. And so my prayer is, somewhere in this sanctuary, there is more than just the form of godliness, the putting on your Sunday best and coming to church because that's what good Christians do. No, I hope that somewhere in all of that, there is a tired soul, a poor soul, that you don't want to make a lot of noise, you don't want to make a scene, but in your soul, you are yearning to be free. And I wonder if every believer would raise a hand and say, "For that soul, we pray right now. For that son or daughter, we pray right now. For that father or mother, we pray right now. For that saint or sinner, we pray right now. For that family member of Heaven View or for that guest, we pray. If there is anyone tired of addiction, anyone that's so poor because of depression, anyone that's so bound because of the cares of life, if you are yearning to be free, you have found the right place today." And remember, as we have referenced John chapter 8, that when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When Jesus said, "He that the Son has set free is free indeed," he was talking to religious people. And some of them thought it, but some of them said it. "Why are you getting so excited about freedom, preacher? I ain't bound." It's in John chapter 8. Wait a minute. You go find some of those messed up people out there. "We don't need to hear about freedom. We're the church." That's how they responded to Jesus. So it's possible that's how some of you might respond to me. And this was Jesus' reply in John 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And so in this context, we see the mission of Christ, that it even embraces religious people. That if there's an area in your life that even though you put on Sunday and you're sincere, but you know there is a bondage, you know there is an addiction, you know there is an area of your life that you cannot break free, Jesus would say to you today, that if you can yield to my spirit and in your own private prayer, you can say, "Jesus, forgive me for anything that keeps me from being free," you will feel the chains fall off your soul and you will rejoice with me and sing, "Free at last, free at last." How many people come to church service after church service and they're still bound by an addiction to perversion or pornography? You wouldn't know it by looking because they look just like every one of us. I'm not trying to judge that person today or shame that person today. I'm just saying when Jesus looks at a religious
crowd like this crowd. He is not fooled by our religion. He loves us enough to pull past the fake and the facade and say, come on, mister, let's be honest. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool God. And this Independence Day weekend is a great weekend for you and Jesus to have a conversation that sounds like this. Jesus, I might play games with them, but I'm not going to play games with you. I might play games with my family or my friends, but I'm not going to play games with you. Jesus, I might even convince the preacher that everything's fine, but that will do me no good if I don't get set free. And so I'm asking you, Jesus, to include me in the number of those that will leave this service and say, he did it for me. He did it for me. He forgave me and he freed me. Can you say in Jesus' name? Because we can be religious and still be slaves to sin. We can be Pentecostal and still have addictions and depressions and anxieties that will destroy us. We can be good Christian folk and still have guilt and shame that weighs us heavy until we can barely move. And for all of us, we say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, and set me free. Set me free. Can you say in Jesus' name? Dr. King made a statement in his message, that same message I quoted at the beginning of this message. So many parts of that message some of you could quote, right? You've heard them and they're so powerful and inspiring. But as I reviewed his message, I found a little portion in the same message that you don't hardly hear anybody quote. You don't hear anybody reference. But it speaks to our day as well as his day. This is what he said. But there is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. And he said, in the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. And listen to this. He said, let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. And then he said, we must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. There's a lot of crying out for freedom in this world that has nothing to do with discipline and dignity. There's a whole lot of people that want you to say, I'm your leader. I'll show you how we can be free. And they're eat up with bitterness and hatred. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. Somebody needs to find a prayer closet. Somebody needs to get in the Word of God and say, Jesus, I want to be free. But I don't want some fake and phony substitute that is driven by the ambitions of people and has nothing to do with the plan and the promises of God. Could you pray for our nation right now that has drifted so far away from the dignity and the discipline of a man like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and yet we still cry the same cry and repeat the same words. But where is the humility and the reverence? Without you, God, we're nothing. Without you, God, we're nothing. Could you pray? Could you pray for this country for just a moment? Could you pray for our politicians for just a moment on either side of the aisle? Could you pray for those people that have the opportunity to make decisions that affect us all? And could you say, oh God, along with our yearning for freedom, let there be a yearning for righteousness. Along with our yearning for justice, let there be a yearning for righteousness. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on this nation. Have mercy on this nation. Because we recognize, Lord, if we humble ourselves and pray, if we will seek your face, if we will turn from our wicked ways, you will hear us, you will heal us, you will forgive us. Can you say in Jesus' name? I want to make it very personal. And I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but I want it to be real for you today. Listen to what he said again. I know we don't hear this part of the message, but he said it in the same breath that he said, I have a dream. He said this, let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. Spiritually, there are too many good people, Christian people, that your real thirst, your real thirst is to be right with God. Your real thirst is to enjoy his presence and to grow in his grace. But it's so easy to drink from the cup of bitterness. It's so easy to drink from the cup of hatred. You're yearning to be free, but it's so easy to drink from the cup of sexual perversion. That's not giving you freedom. That's not giving you satisfaction. But it's so easy to reach for that bitter cup of lust, that bitter cup of materialism, that bitter cup of pride. I'm just saying, like Dr. King said, if you're really thirsty for freedom, don't reach for jealousy. Don't spend your life reaching for envy. Don't try to satisfy yourself with all of the worldliness. Instead, let your soul break forth with a yearning to be free. In other words, somebody in here needs to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm talking about spiritual now. You need to get so fed up with the fact that lust is doing nothing for you. You need to get so fed up with the fact that your sexual perversion's doing nothing for you. Your life is falling apart. Your life is a mess. Your family's confused. It's all so frustrating that you're plunging into depression and despair, and you have no idea that sin will take you further than you ever thought you would go. And what you need to do is push away that cup and say, what I'm really thirsty for, what I'm really yearning for is freedom. Free at last. Free at last. To wake up in the morning and not feel the weight of shame. To start my day tomorrow and not be eat up with all kinds of lust, but to be set free. And I'm telling you, Jesus died so that you could live that way. Because the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy. And as long as you are led away by the thief, you will drink from that bitter cup. But if you can be honest today and say, Jesus, here's the addiction. Here's the depression. Here's the anxiety. Here's the fear. I promise you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us today because he has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. He has called us to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. And there it is. You can read it for yourself. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Because church is more than just a ritual. Church is more than just religion. Church is for somebody that's yearning to be free. Free at last. Free at last. Free at last. Would you stand and would you bow your heads with me right now? All across the building, I want everybody everywhere to pray in your own words a simple prayer of repentance. Jesus, forgive me for any area of my life where sin has laid a trap for me and I am drinking from the bitter cup. Jesus, forgive me for any addiction. Forgive me for any depression. That while I focus on my own self and I wallow more and more in the mire of the mistakes of others or even the mess I made for me, Lord Jesus, if I could just get my attention on you today, I could be free at last. I could be free at last. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the authority of the word of God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Lord God, that anybody that joins me in repentance right now, that the shackles would fall off. That anybody that joins me in repentance right now, that the chains would fall off. That the prison doors would burst wide open. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, somebody is facing the darkness of depression. Somebody is facing the anxiety of addiction. Somebody is facing the bondage of sin right now, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you say in Jesus' name? Now here's what we're going to do. Now I need as many people that can come to come. Some of you probably won't come and that's okay. I'm not trying to judge you. But in a moment I need as many people as can come to come. Because there are people that Jesus wants to set free in this congregation. And they don't need to feel awkward as though they're going to be the only one when they get to this altar. They don't need to feel that. There are people that Jesus wants to use this service to give them the miracle of deliverance that they've been desperate for. But they need to come up here and mix in with a crowd of people, every single one of us that are crying out to the Lord, saying, Jesus, I believe you're going to set me free. Even some that have already been delivered that are saying, free at last, free at last. There is something about us as a church family and our guests included. Come on, go ahead and come. That as you come to the altar, you're not coming up here to play church, but you're coming up here believing, Jesus, you're going to set me free and you're going to set my brother free. You're going to set me free and you're going to set our guests free. Come on, my brothers and sisters. Come on, my friends. There is something about that yearning to be free. There is something about that yearning to be free. If you could get past playing church for just a moment and cry out to God, He will set you free. In the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. That's beautiful. Please, please. Come on, don't clog the aisles. Come up as close to the front as you can. Please, there's people behind you that are trying to get up here near the altar. Come on, that addiction's going to be gone today. That depression's going to be gone today. Free at last. Free at last. Come on, that fear is going to be defeated today. Free at last. Free at last. Come on, that deception is going to be defeated today. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, I don't need you to stand back there. I need you to help us pray right now. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, I need you to get involved with what the Spirit is saying right now. Come on, if you've got the Holy Ghost.